The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.
Welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast, the Kerr's Hire, proudly sponsoring the Cat Attack Podcast since the dawn of time, basically, King. Going back to the days of Baytech Stadium.
Oh, well.
It's been an unbelievable ride between the Cat Attack Podcast and Kerr's Hire, and another Monday recording, Kingy. We need to make a habit of this.
Yes.
Second time in a month.
We won't have as much info on injuries as we could potentially have, but I do understand that Geelong will provide an update later today on both Bowes and Dangerfield.
Medium term.
Well, the suspicion is that Dangerfield, there was no ice. I think Zach Tui alluded to that, put on that hamstring in the vision we could see.
Yeah.
I reckon he doesn't play this week, obviously.
He won't be playing this week.
Won't go to Perth.
No.
But I reckon he'll be back for the Gold Coast game.
Yeah, you're probably right there, Kingy. I think you might be on the money there with your detective work.
Yep.
Didn't I used to work with a bloke at Inside Footy, Nick Ellis, who was a thinker.
Yep.
Collingwood supporter, so it was rare. He was a thinker.
Right.
And he was well-educated, and he, you know, he'd been around the block. And he was sort of right into his sort of therapies, you know, different sorts of therapies.
Alternative?
Some alternative, some traditional, but he was right into that. And he was well-read and well-researched. And he maintains to this day that there is not one skerrick of evidence that suggests putting ice on injuries does absolutely anything.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know why we continue to put ice on
Well, the talk was it was to stop the swelling, wasn't it?
Well, he used to go on about this all the time, that there was no medical evidence whatsoever to suggest ice does anything. So anyway, Patrick Dangerfield, maybe he'd read the same and thought, I'm not doing the ice because that's absolute rubbish.
Yeah.
But anyway, you'd think he's definitely out. Bo's definitely out for the battle of the domestic pets.
Yeah.
This Thursday night, Kingy.
I've never heard it called that.
The cats v. the dogs, and it's going to be...
Oh, it's on.
I was thinking about this, Kingy, as I was trundling around the waterfront in here this afternoon.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be on like Donkey Kong, isn't it? Let's be honest. Yep. They are going to be into Bailey Smith.
Oh, from...
Now, I don't know how Bailey Smith's going to react. He could lose his shit here.
Yeah.
So, who do we... Because Geelong don't exactly have...
They don't have an enforcer.
No, Max Holmes, I wouldn't want to be going to war with Max Holmes because you'd look around and Max would be heading the other direction.
But it might be somebody unlikely.
No, well, Tommy Atkins will fly the flag.
Yes.
He doesn't mind a bit of a scrap, but we fall away badly, don't we?
There's not many scrappers, is
Ollie there? Dempsey, imagine him coming in off the square. I'm sure they'd be quaking in their boots.
Zach Guthrie
exploding in just with the fists coiled, crackers Keenan style. I don't think it's going to happen. So we're going to need some reinforcements, Kingy, for Thursday night. Who are we bringing back from yesteryear to run next to Bailey Smith for the first 5 minutes of the game? I've got two. One of them's Gary Hocking.
Yeah.
Because he would not only just be there front and square, but he would spend the rest of the night just sniping blokes and just giving them little ones of these ones. And the other one, Kingy, you know that is?
Oh.
Guess.
Gazook.
The Great Gazook. Because of the Gazook, he would iron somebody out. Like, he would just lay someone out completely. If let's put it this way, if he hit Marcus Bonampelli bump to bump,
yeah.
I know he'd come off second best.
Yeah, it'd be the Bond.
Bonampelli. Do you remember the day he finished Wayne Johnson's career? Every organ in Wayne Johnson's body
shook.
Left his setup.
Yeah, right.
He never played again.
Yeah.
It was a bump in on the half forward flank at GMHBA. You could hear it reverberate around the stadium. And Wayne Johnson, he never ever recovered from that. Nobody ever, and you know how good you are. No, I never saw anybody remonstrate with Gary Ablett, even when he was ironing people out. No one would ever bar of him. Whereas, so we're light on, Kingy. Who else have we got? I mean, I can't imagine Sam De Koning running the length of the field just to give someone a crack around the jaw.
No. Jack Bowes probably would be one that wouldn't mind a little bit of...
He's not exactly...
No, but he's probably one that...
Tom Stewart probably you'll get involved.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Jeremy Cameron will probably give a bit of lip. We just don't have... We need some enforcers.
The Henry brothers are.
No, they're not doing... Grian Myers? He's putting the fear of God into a chihuahua, probably, Grian Myers. And they're all ball players, which is fine, but when you know it's going to be like Festival Hall...
House of Stash.
Yeah, you need some blokes who can throw a few, and Geelong don't have any, unfortunately. So what are you marking down there, King? We're taking a bit out, are we?
Nah, it's all right. No, all good. Just taking some notes as we go.
No, you're not. What are you taking? together.
No, it's nothing. It's all right.
Kingy writes down the timestamps, then he takes stuff out. There's some funny stuff about that Bluetooth setup. I'd love to tell that story, Kingy.
You're not telling
when
it
when there
Ben.
Was some mental relaxation nah. going on in the bathroom and the Bluetooth was going off out in the patio.
Is it a true story or a joke?
No, it's 100% true. It's 100% true.
Right, okay.
It actually happened.
100% true on what actually happened, Benny. Was it the Cats win 1 by 76 points on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, well, they did, Kingy.
Did Port raise the white flag again like they did in the qualifying final last year?
After I was thinking about the players we could bring in for Thursday night to help Bailey Smith, I was thinking about how it's a tale of two sides, isn't it?
Mm.
Because, I mean, the Cats, you know, and I can be glass half empty times, but the Cats, the Cats rarely fall away like Port Adelaide did. But they were terrible.
No.
Their second half was absolutely abysmal. Now, I know they lost some players. They lost three. Geelong lost two. Okay, I'm prepared to say, and you can never measure it, I'm prepared to say one rotation difference for the second half might be worth a couple of goals,
yeah.
Two or three goals.
Not 10.
You can't. No, not 13 goals. Absolutely not. They were the mental fragility of Port Adelaide is completely different to the mental stability of Geelong. You could go back and find the odd game where Geelong have been horrendous. That's going to happen. But when you're in a game that has some meaning to it, Geelong rarely get beaten like that.
No.
And even against Carlton when they lost and played poorly, they made a comeback.
They
played poorly against St Kilda, made a comeback. They just don't fall away like that. And that was absolutely horrendous from Port Adelaide. And Geelong were good enough to take advantage. And the thing I liked, Kingy, was that that Geelong were ruthless,
yep.
Absolutely ruthless. And Port were falling away, Geelong were getting stronger. We're going to miss... Do you reckon... I've been thinking about a few things, Kingy. I know we're going to miss him, but in the short term... Do you think there could be some advantage of not having Dangerfield?
Oh, there was short-term advantage, I reckon, on Saturday.
Well, Ollie Henry played the best half of footy he's played.
Correct.
Now, he didn't star, he didn't set the world alight,
but
he got a bit of the ball.
Because
he went back to playing his role
yeah.
that he's played. So we can put Ollie Henry back there. Now, he's not Patrick Dangerfield, and he is out of form, but he can go back to playing the role that he knows well.
Yep.
You've got... He's a 15 to 22 player.
That's coverable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stewart comes in. Does Stanley come in?
I would have thought Stanley comes in.
He's available?
He will be, yeah. Well, he was an emergency. He travelled.
Is there anybody else who's in the mix?
George Stevens.
Well, I watched that game.
Saturday night?
I watched the last quarter, and it was hard to watch.
Went for 40 minutes.
Yeah, that young Alessio's boy got absolutely... Well, it was sort of bizarre because he... I'm not sure what happened. They showed the replay a few times. This is the VFL. This was after Geelong's game. It was on Channel 7.
Mm.
So I got home, watched the last quarter, and it was wet and the conditions were horrendous and the game was horrifically scrappy. It was hard to watch. But anyway, Luca Alessio got knocked himself out. But it was sort of hard to see how he did it. Anyway, the last quarter went for 40 minutes. But I did notice George Stevens, a big boy.
Yeah.
And I mean, I haven't seen a lot of the twos, but he is one that Geelong probably could use. He seemed like he's good around the ball. That's his go. I don't think you want him out running, but he's good around the ball. Geelong probably need one more player like that to feed it out to the likes of Holmes and Smith.
And he's actually an elite kick. He's one of the best kicks at the club.
Right. Well, I'm liking more and more. I just noticed him in the last quarter.
He's just not quick.
No, but you probably could get away with a GMHBA.
Yeah, but against either's
Libba.
Against the Dogs.
Libba's not quick.
Yeah, I know, but the rest of the midfield makes up for that.
Oh, well, I'm not suggesting...
Well, the rest of the Geelong midfield make up for... Can you have Stevens and Atkins in the same midfield?
Well, we had Stevens and Nevitt. Oh, sorry, Stevens. Atkins we had and Nevitt. Atkins and Nevitt.
Yeah, but Nevitt played out on a wing.
Well, I think Geelong are short. Trying to get Clayton Oliver. He's not quick.
Don't get me wrong. I'd be very happy with George Stevens.
I'm not suggesting he needs to play this Thursday night, but I'm suggesting
he's not far away.
I wouldn't have thought. I mean, he just seemed to have a really good nous for the ball from stoppages,
Benny,
so the game suited him.
He's a natural footballer.
Yeah, well, I quite liked him and thought, look, it'd be worth giving him a crack because I think we're one natural footballer short in the midfield. Mm. So if you've got somebody who can get six or seven clearances and dish it out to the likes who. Because, I mean, how good is. I mean, I know we say it each week, but. Jesus, Bailey Smith, how good is he going?
Hmm.
I had no idea.
Now they're talking about Brownlow.
I know. Well, I mean, that's why he's wearing that headband.
Tracked phones.
That's why girls wear when they play footy. Do you know what they do?
What?
They put big, colourful ribbons in their hair to track votes.
The Geelong best and fairest right now is actually Bailey Smith to lose.
Look, he's been amazing, really. I don't know. Well, I think we've probably said this four or five times on the Kerr's High Cat Attack podcast, but I don't think he's come as advertised and some.
Yeah.
He hasn't
disappointed.
Would it be the last 5 weeks he's had 30 plus?
So on the weekend.
He had 30 on the weekend, I think. I'm sure he's had 30 at least the last month.
So he had 30 exactly. Let's go to Bailey Smith. AFL Tables hasn't updated for the round just gone, but let's go.
He had almost
35 against the Giants.
Yeah, I'm positive he had 30 on Saturday night.
No, he did. Yeah. No, he did. Yeah. 34 against Collingwood, 29 against Carlton, 28 against Hawthorn. The lowest for the season is the 25 he had against Brisbane in round three.
In the wet. Yeah, look, he has been such a good pickup for Geelong.
Do you know what his other good number is, though? His tackle number.
Yeah.
He's actually averaging more than 5 tackles a game.
And if you're at the ground, if you watch him play live, it's more difficult to see when you're watching the broadcast, but his work rate is enormous. He clearly has a big tank. I'd love to know where he fits in the running at Geelong.
Well, it would have to be up there with Dempsey, Blitzarves and Myers.
Well, we should ask, Zach's where you won't know, but we could ask one of the assistant coaches if we get them on, because his ability to work is enormous. And he's worked out that Geelong don't have enough players to go in and get the ball, so he's got to go and get it.
Mm.
But his also ability to link up and run through the middle and be an option is elite.
Yeah.
So he and Holmes are the two keys for Geelong.
Mm.
When they're playing well, Geelong are going well, yep. And their midfield, because their midfield, if one of those two was to be out, or if, let's hope it doesn't happen, but if both were out, I think Geelong's midfield is
he didn't play against St Kilda, Bailey Smith,
and they were putrid.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think the whole team was putrid that night because they lifted in the second half, but. So you think Stanley and Stewart will be the replacements for Dangerfield and Bowes?
Yep.
Tell you who else has been good is Blitzarves in the last couple of weeks. Yep. Jeez.
Which does that make you think that, do you just roll with him in the ruck with the support coming from Neil?
I know, Kingy, that in previous, not every game we've played against the Doggies, but there has been the odd occasion where Blitzarves has gone to Bonampelli to play a sort of a defensive type role. He's got the wingspan, the size, particularly around the ball from stoppages. So did Geelong have a crack there? Zach mentioned that he thought that Mullen, off the back of a pretty good job on Butters, could possibly go to Ed Richards.
Yep.
I don't mind that.
No.
I actually don't mind that. I think because if you're able to limit, and we saw, I mean, this is probably the first time in history that I think the coach of the Cats and myself have thought the same thing.
Mm.
I mean, I heard him say after the game that there was a limited number of players to put out there to get them going. If you completely shut them down, then you go a long way to winning the game. Rosie and Butters were two. Now, Rosie had a lot of the ball, but he wasn't
damaging.
Bursting off the back, kicking goals and setting up goals. And he worked hard and he got a lot of scrappy stuff, which is credit to him. And Butters was shut out pretty much. I think he had one clearance for the game. I might be wrong there, but I think it was only one clearance and one score involvement. With Mullen tagging him. Now, for me,
Butters had 3 clearances.
Did he have one inside 50?
I can't see that stat.
I reckon he had one inside 50.
Let me have a look at the advanced.
I might be wrong there, Tiggy. I'm wrong a bit. But anyway, he didn't have a great influence, is what I'm trying to get across.
Butters had no inside 50s.
There you go. That is a good effort. No inside 50s. Bulldogs are probably more even than Port Adelaide, but they're two players who I reckon who get them going are Bonampelli and Richards. They're the ones. So if you can limit the ability of, I don't think you can tag Liberatore. You probably don't anyway. He's going to get a fair bit of it. But if you're limiting who he gets it out to, Richards and Bonampelli are the two. If you're limiting that option, I think you go a long way to say something that was going to get us thrown off the air, King.
Right.
But you go a long way to beating the Doggies. Now, I'll be really interested to see whether the Cats. Do you think Mullen could be a tagger for the remainder of the year?
Yep. But you've got to have the right matchup for him, though.
So
there's no point in just going, well, we're going to tag somebody. But
every fifth week.
Yeah.
Well, I think
you either got to settle him into the role, but make sure that he's going to somebody that, you know, he can go with. Like, you've got to, and yeah, they'll do their
Butters
research.
Was good.
Yeah.
Richards is probably a good one.
The Dacos one.
Dacos was good. I'm just trying to think forward. If you were playing Hawthorn, probably not an obvious one.
Newcomb.
Newcomb's probably too big and more of an around the ball player. I think Mullen needs to tag somebody who's more outside.
Warple
would be one. Mm. Just thinking of the better sides.
Brisbane.
Neil.
Mm.
Well, didn't he tag? Did he go to Neil at all? Neil would be one.
No, didn't Atkins have the job on Neil?
I don't think Neil actually played that well against the Cats.
No, he didn't. But, you know, I reckon Atkins did a sort of a job on him. And actually, no, Mullen started on him and they moved Mullen off him.
But he'd be a good matchup there. Who else is at the top of the tree there? Gold Coast, you'd send him to probably a Noah Anderson. Mm. He'd be a good matchup for Noah Anderson.
Yep.
So you're right. You've got to have that right role. But I just, if he's, I mean, the Cats were justified in playing him. We said he should have been out last week. He got a role. If you're going to, for a player like him, I think it's, you probably need to give him that role each week so he can build on it.
Yep.
If it's the next 2 weeks of just doing what you like across half back and he sort of struggles and then, oh, hang on, we want you to tag in 3 weeks' time, why not make him your Cameron Ling,
yep.
You know, that type of player where he's doing it every week, he becomes good at it, and then he can build his own game as well.
Well, he's learning on the run.
Yeah. He's playing against the elite players and probably going to find a couple will struggle. I mean, he struggled against Dacos for the first three quarters. But
just back on that with Dacos, and I probably should have said this last week, we were talking about it. Dacos found the footy, probably just what he did with the footy.
Oh, he was pretty good. He had 25 to three-quarter time.
Yeah, he did, but he wasn't – he didn't – you weren't looking at
him. It's only because Geelong won the game that we – if he had 8 in the last quarter and had 33 and Collingwood win, you'd say
– He's probably getting 3 Brownlow votes.
Yeah, so look, I'm not trying to take anything away from Mullen, but I wasn't buying the whole he tagged him out of the game.
No, he didn't tag him out of the game.
Tagged him in the, when the game was on the line, he did well. But mind you, Geelong were dominating for a lot of that last quarter, which helps.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to answer some questions, Benny?
Oh, Kingy, look, I absolutely love questions.
Is it actually, before that, can the Dogs, like, I know the Dogs kicked a massive score against the Bombers.
Well, I didn't see any of that game, but Essendon must have been putrid.
They were, and Bailey Dale, like,
he had 50 possessions, didn't he? 49.
Yeah, 46 were uncontested.
That's unheard of.
Yeah.
Do you reckon they'll go to Bailey Dale? Yeah. Could Mullen go to Bailey Dale?
Potentially.
As a tagging option.
Yeah, athletically could go with him.
Yeah. That, well, actually, he's another one. So Richards, Bonampelli and Bailey Dale are their sort of playmakers.
But the other side, Luke Beveridge is probably sitting there going, well, how are we limiting the influence of Max Holmes? How are we limiting the influence of Bailey Smith?
Yeah.
How are we limiting the influence of Tom Atkins? Because all of a sudden, Tom Atkins is actually turning himself.
Well, you're not going to tag Tom Atkins.
No, you're not going
to. He's the equivalent of Tom Lipitore.
But you've still got to find a way to make sure that, because Tom Atkins, usually, when he finds a footy, he does something creative or productive
with
it.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. He's not elite, but he's handy.
But he doesn't waste a disposal.
Oh, he doesn't. He doesn't. Oh, I mean, they'd be thinking, how do we, I mean, the equivalent, our equivalent sort of a rebounder, he doesn't get the ball as much as Humphreys to Bailey Dale.
Yep.
That's our equivalent. Atkins is the equivalent to
Libba.
And Bonampelli and Richards, their equivalent of Smith and Holmes.
Yep.
So it's some great matchups there. And the team that gets those, do they have a, they don't really have a tagger though.
No.
Do they?
No.
So I don't know. Geelong do have Mullen at their disposal, either Dale or Richards.
Did we just go head to head?
Well, I hope not. Because I think we've seen when we've tagged it and it's been relatively successful, we've had some success. I mean, we tagged Butters on the weekend and that worked.
Mm.
I mean, Dacos was tagged well in the last quarter. That worked for them. And the other side of the coin is that you're not putting Mullen to half back and think he's going to get it 20 times for you. He's lucky to touch it 10 times for the game or 8. So maybe if he's not touching the ball a lot, give him that role, but make sure he builds on it across the year, because we've traditionally, when we've struggled, our midfield gets well beaten. So I'm hoping that they do that, and there are some certainly good options for him to play on Thursday night.
The Dogs have won the last two down here, final round of 2020.
Well, that was a nothing event. Gaffing. But last year they pulled our pants down. Their midfield went bananas. Is Treloar back this week?
Not sure on his status.
That wouldn't help. No. If they get Treloar in, they got some serious power in the midfield.
So when they were here last year,
they
Treloar's had 31 and kicked 3.
And he was unbelievable. Their whole midfield just tore us apart.
Richards had 29, Bonampelli had 27, Dale and Liberatore had 23 apiece.
Yeah, they were on fire.
I tell you who's turned into a handy player for the Dogs, is good to watch, is Joel Frazier.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't say I've sort of admired his work, can you tell? Well, admire it on Thursday night.
No Cody Waitman for the rest of the year. For
Dogs. Well, I mean, he hasn't played, so they're not really missing him in such that they've played without him and been very effective.
No Darcy, obviously.
Darcy's out, yeah. No Ewlehagen, yeah. He's, I don't know.
So their forward line's not, you wouldn't call their forward line big?
No, but it makes them unpredictable. Mm. I mean, who for them goes to Cameron? Because Jones is not playing.
No.
I mean, does who they got some blokes down they never heard of.
Does Karmas go to Cameron?
Well, he's been playing forward.
Okay.
At times. The last few weeks, he's actually been up forward without Darcy.
Yep.
So, I mean, Norton, De Koning goes to Norton.
Yep.
Stewart back in. Hopefully Stewart, it'd be really interesting to see how Stewart goes, because if he can, you know, if he can find some form. Now, I know he has been out of form, but that's with the injury. Is he? I'd love to know whether he's the time off has got him back to 100%, or they're rolling the dice and he's only back to 80.
Nobody's 100%.
Well, if you've had 3 weeks off, he should be close.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering whether the injury, whether the 3 weeks is enough for his knee to be good, or whether it's just allowed him now to play. Because if it's allowing him to be free and 100% fit in terms of, I mean, he should be fresh.
Yeah.
He's had a big preseason, like he's missed preseason.
Well, he was close to playing last week.
So he should be fresh. Yep. So if he's fresh and fit, you'd expect him to provide you with something, Stuart?
Yes.
As a defender, a rebounding player, alongside Guthrie, alongside Humphreys. But I'd love to know, you know, you'd love to be flying the wall in terms of whether that time off has just got him back to being able to play, but still a bit limited, or whether it's actually got him back to being feeling really good.
Off the KFC X Benny, Dave Twist, I think we've found the right role for Mullen as a tagger. Yes, he'll have games where he's exposed and doesn't look the part, but he's a strong runner and solid tackler. Like Blitz early on, Mullen looks much better when directed to the contest rather than finding the ball himself.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying, and that's why I've always maintained that I know he's been good in the ruck, but I think Blitzar's best position is actually in defence, where the play reading gets taken out of it to a degree. He gets somebody else to read the play for him because he goes with them. Mullen is exactly the same. If you just asked him to play free-flowing in the midfield, he'd hardly touch the ball. But he's actually going with somebody who takes him to the ball. His role is not to get the ball, it's to stop them. So I think that works perfectly for a bloke. And you'd hope that as he's doing that, he is learning where to be. You'd hope, you know, that doesn't always happen, but you'd hope that he's learning off the best about where you go to find a kick. Now, he's trying to stop the bloke from getting that kick, but hopefully he can build off that. That's why I said he could, hopefully playing as a negative role could actually help him his offensive play down the line. That's the byproduct of that. So, but he's not a natural play ready. He's still learning the game. So, someone doing it for him, taking that out of the equation, is perfect.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Kingy and Cass, great win for the boys with the personnel going down. What difference did two players in the back line do? Going to see the number five playing in the position that he should. Do Stewart and Stanley come straight in? How do we cover Danger? Well, I think Dangerfield, as much as he had a wonderful start to the year, that can be covered.
Yeah, I agree.
With the rejig of the
forward line. And Geelong have some, you know, some goal kickers. Holmes, Stengel, Close, got a bit of the ball, probably his best game.
Henry.
One of his best games. Ollie Henry goes back and plays the role that he's used to. You've got Neil. Neil took some good marks in the second half.
Manor.
Can bob up. Manor, Cameron. You know, every team is going to have to play. They're playing without Darcy.
Yep.
So, you know, yeah, Dangerfield is a loss, and I don't think you'd want Dangerfield out for the remainder of the year. You certainly don't. But I think that I don't think it necessarily is a bad thing just for the odd couple of weeks to allow others to fill in different roles. I'll be really interested to see how Ollie Henry goes on Thursday night with going back to playing where the position he knows.
Yep. Will it be Stewart and Stanley for Bowes and Dangerfield, or Stewart and Stevens for Bowes and Dangerfield?
Well, they've got I know we're excited about Blitzars in the ruck, but he was against Dante Vizzentini, the Formula One driver. And they got Tim English, who's an absolute gun. And he's playing good footy.
So Stanley back.
I think Stanley comes in because it allows you flexibility. So what would happen then is, instead of bringing Stevens in, Blitzars becomes that midfielder. So he's that Stevens would, if you left Stanley out and you were playing Blitzarves in the ruck, you could contemplate bringing Stevens in as another midfielder, but Blitzarves becomes that midfielder with Stanley going into the ruck. Blitzarves then can help out in the ruck. Mm. He could possibly help out down back. He could play on the wing. You've got some flexibility with him, yeah. So I'd be surprised if that didn't happen.
Clinton Mitchell, right now, surely Ollie Dempsey is the biggest barometer for the team. He plays well, team plays well, has a quiet one. It's not great. Plus, with Danger now out for a short period of time, it becomes the Cameron show up forward.
Well, I mean, that's just too predictable to say that. And Bulldogs would be well across that. I think, if Cameron puts on a show, great. But if you hope some unpredictability is what gets you over the line, some spreading out of the goals and having different avenues. I mean, Cameron, we were talking about it pre-game on Saturday, that he'd only just been going.
Mm.
I think Zach Dewey made the point that, you know, we were lauding Georgiades, who's had a good year.
Kicked 20.
And Cameron kicked as many, the same number. Now, and we were saying he was going like a bastard. He kicked five. He has kicked. So what's he kicked? 27. So eight of those have come in absolute. He still kicked them, but eight of them have come in junk time. He kicked three against the Fremantle when I probably could have kicked two, yeah. And he kicked when the game was going absolutely one way. He's kicked five on
in the last quarter.
Mm. So credit to him, he was able to capitalise. But
he's kicked those three to put the game to bed, though.
Yeah, true. And he kicked two, was it just before halftime?
Yep.
He kicked the one from the boundary, the set shot. Yeah, look, I mean, hopefully it's a springboard for him to really find his best form. He's been, I'd say, struggling. Mind you, he's just kicked seven. But yeah, look, I think unpredictability is the key against a side like the Bulldogs. And if Cameron is able to chime in, I mean, what's a night out these days? Four?
Four or five.
Yeah, against a good team, a night out's four or five. Mm. Absolutely.
Just cap, the danger conundrum. Put Dempsey up forward. We have no like-for-like power and speed. Total left field, Stewart. Just don't think Henry and Neil get it done. Well, you've got Cameron there, so
Cameron. You've got Cameron, you've got Stengel, Luke and Market.
Manor.
You've got Close. Yeah, we've just gone through all those players. I think you've got plenty of options. I wouldn't be suddenly saying, you're not going to replace Patrick Dangerfield. Mm. There's no one on the planet who plays footy like he does. But you, it's... You know, I mean, did we go over to Adelaide and beat Adelaide without Tom Stewart? Everyone's going, oh, geez, you can't win. You know, Tom's just going to be hard going. Oh, Tom Stewart can't win now. The players don't think like that. I think it's, you know, be licking his lips, Ollie Henry.
Yeah.
Thinking, hang on, I'm getting a chance here to play the role that I know to play. Other guys, and this might sound, you know, a bit harsh, but Cameron and we hear the coaches and Zach Toohey say, Cameron and Dangerfield, you don't really coach them. They do whatever they like.
Yeah.
So you've got two of those blokes playing in the forward line who don't stick to anything.
They're doing what they want.
Yeah. So just I don't know that it's going to be the worst thing in the world to just to have Ollie Henry go back and a bit of structure. And there's no way known I'm panicking and putting Tom Stewart down there trying to play him like Patrick Dangerfield. You want him rebounding it off half-back. And that's what the Bulldogs get a lot of their run off half-back. Humphreys and Stewart. Stewart playing well alongside Humphreys playing well is an absolute weapon for the Cats.
Will Hurst, a couple of weeks ago on the pod, Benny said that Warple to the Cats was a done deal. Has he now walked that back?
No, well, I didn't say that. I said that somebody came round to my house for dinner who said that to me. I didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
So they said to me that Warple's coming to the Cats. And then I was down at Warrnambool and I'd been at the track in the morning and I was at my bakery getting them to make me up a roll. So they have this bakery in Warrnambool and they make you a roll like fresh out of the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it is like fair dinkum. It causes a twinge in the pant.
Right.
Anyway, they have the paper there. So while they're making the rolls, reading the paper, and it said, there's a big story on Warple saying that things were progressing with Hawthorn. Mm. So I never said he was actually coming. I didn't know anything about it. Mm. But he would be handy for the Pussycats.
Max Blake, who's the greatest dual Geelong Bulldogs player of all time? Here's some names. Tim Kellen, Andrew Wills, Stuart Cramery, Joel Hamling, who didn't play a senior game, Nathan Jakura, Peter Street, and then some more came. Peter Featherby.
Yes, he was probably the best.
Bluey Hampshire.
Yes.
Stephen Lunn.
Yes.
I think he and Mick Turner had the sports store on Packington Street.
I've told this story before. When Mick Turner was doing K-Rock and the old Lunny came up to the box after a game at GMHBA, and fair to say, I think he'd been on the Ellison Durbans since about halfway through the twos.
Right.
He was absolutely Brahms and Liszt.
Had a good day.
Oh, he was extreme.
And Mick were great mates.
Yeah, well, he was right off old Lunny.
All right, we've got a few more.
39? Did he wear 39?
I think
for the
so.
Cats.
Yep, I think so.
Who were some other ones there, Kingy? Can you think of any other Bulldog cat?
Oh, there were some other names.
Crossovers.
Well, Luke Dalhouse.
Didn't
Sean Higgins.
Didn't what's his name? Little nuggety bloke played went to the Bulldogs. Went from the Cats to the Bulldogs. Oh, not that long ago. Oh, little sort of muscly fella. He went from the Cats to the Bulldogs.
You're not thinking of Prismal.
No, Prismal. No, he was a good fella, Brent Prismal.
He went to Essendon, though, didn't he?
He played at Essendon, yeah.
Yeah.
He
played VFL.
Robbins.
Oh, yeah. Matty Robbins.
Yeah.
Who actually lives down this neck of the woods.
He went to the Bulldogs, didn't he?
From
the
Cats. He had a great career, Matty Robbins.
So the Matthew Robbins Cup.
Yeah.
On Thursday night.
He had... Matty Robbins, young fella, plays at Drysdale.
Right.
Yeah, James.
Well, there you go.
Yep. Small world. B. Davey, 22. Gents, whilst I've loved what Paddy's done up forward, playing Jez in his natural habitat worked wonders, and I wonder if we're going to go through a period where the likes of Ollie Henry, Close and Stengel, players yet to get going, will find it easier. Again, not advocating for Paddy to be out of the forward line, but just wondering. Well, yeah, we have
discussed. Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree. Look, it might blow up my face and there might be putrid, but I 100% agree with that. And I thought... Yeah, look, it's hard to say because in the second half, Port Adelaide fell right away. But, geez, Geelong looked open and they looked dangerous and they looked potent up forward in that second half, didn't they? Mm. Dangerfield wasn't playing. And I'm not saying that we need Dangerfield out of the team. I'm just saying that it's
a different look.
Yeah, it is.
It's a different look. If I'm the Cats list management team, I'm opening up a list spot in the mid-season draft and finding the best ruckman available. Plitz is doing a great job at having him as the everywhere man, and being our second is when we're at our best. Can't rely on Stanley now. He's had an injury. When he plays, we look our strongest. We must have a backup if he goes down, as SDK must stay behind the ball. Scotty talks up Cam Guthrie coming back, but I just can't see it. We're in the here and now, and right now we need ruck stability. Well, they're not cutting Cam Guthrie and saying, especially when they expect him and Jack Martin to play VFL.
This week.
Friday night. Yep.
And Collar Jasden?
No. No, Collar's probably another week away.
Not ideal.
No. Enjoy the call on Thursday.
Is Jack Martin, has he been injured? Or are they just not playing him and trying to manage him?
No, he had a calf issue early. Right. Yeah. Right. Now it's just been trying to get some... Yeah, because he didn't play a lot of footy last year, obviously.
No.
So,
but he played in a couple of the practice games.
Yeah.
Prior to the season started.
Yeah, just probably need to get him just going.
He's not getting a game, is he?
Not right now.
Not unless, he's not getting a game unless his injuries.
Yep. Howler 41, a small thing amongst the hiding the Cats gave out was the ruck craft from Shag and Neil. 17 hit out, 7-2 advantage would have to be his best return.
Yeah, it was.
In particular, over the back tap in the last quarter to allow Stengel running into space had me thinking the big Pilottens was back playing.
That was good. He was good.
I did call that hit out at the time.
It was a beauty.
Yeah.
He got a bit of ball in the second half as well. He got his confidence up and he's sticking his marks. And they're going to need him to play well. And playing well for him isn't taking 10 marks and kicking 6 goals. It's creating a contest when he needs to create a contest and grabbing the odd mark, particularly if it's a...
Kick down the line.
A ball down the line and he can go up and take a mark. So that's his role. And the area that he needs to work on is that competing at times. Every now and then he just gets clean out marked. Mm. He's got to find a way just to stay in the contest and get the ball to ground. I like Shannon Neal. He's going to be a good player for the Cats. Is he going to be Tom Hawkins? No. Who is? But that's the problem. He's coming in. He's trying to fill some big shoes. He's not going to be that. But I think he can be a very effective forward/ruckman for the Cats for quite some time.
Howler 41 also says, with the injuries to Bowes and Danger, could this be the week George Stevens gets a crack? Best on ground in the VFL. 31 touches, 12 tackles, 8 clearances. Dogs are flying, but their midfield doesn't have Usain Bolt-style speed.
No, they don't. Well, they got Richards is quick. Bottom Pally's probably quicker than you think.
He glides.
Riley Sanders is more of a ball accumulator. Liberatore's an accumulator. We've spoken about Stevens. If he was in the side, I wouldn't be throwing the toys out of the cot on what I saw in the VFL. No. I thought, I was thinking to myself, sort of play that we do need, but. I think Stanley comes in, Blitzarves goes into the midfield, and I doubt whether then they pull the trigger on Stevens.
Yep. Gazza Greatness says George Stevens deserves a game, but whether it's this week, I'd say unlikely. But if he continues his excellent current VFL form, then it would be unfair not to give him a game at some stage with a less experienced side, Kangas, Tigers, Eagles, more likely.
Yep. I don't mind that.
Maybe a trip to Perth next week.
Yeah, possibly. Yep.
Dudas Maximus.
Oh, Dudas.
Either Cam Guthrie or Jack Martin a realistic chance of making the AFL team this year?
Oh, I don't think Jack Martin is, unless there's four injuries, but there may be four injuries. If we get down to Jack Martin, we're probably in trouble.
Daz Bronco. I think Cam Guthrie is still in their plans.
Well, he'd need to come in and put a good block together, a four-week block in the twos.
Correct.
If he can do that, I'm not writing him off.
I wouldn't think you'd see Cam Guthrie until after the AFL bye at the end of June.
How long has he been training for?
He's probably been back for 3 weeks.
As in full training?
Yep.
For 3 weeks?
Yep.
And had he done a sort of some sort of mini pre-season prior to that?
That I'm not aware of.
Yeah. Look, he's... Well, the fact he's playing this week is great.
Yeah.
Don't expect much this week. But if he can be, by week four in the VFL, if he can be a 24 possession, 7 clearance and a goal player,
yeah,
I think he could come in. And we don't need him to come in and play like Nick Dacos.
Yeah.
He just needs to offer, and he's that sort of player that does offer you a little bit of run outside.
Wouldn't be a bad player as a sub.
No, possibly, early. Yeah. I mean, look, he's given himself every chance anyway by getting back at this point in the season. There's plenty of time. It's to what, 3 months before the finals.
Yeah.
So he's given himself a chance. Would you be betting on him coming back? Probably not. Do you hope he comes back?
Absolutely.
Yes. But let's hope his body allows him at least to have a chance to do it.
Daz Broncos, great call for a great win that we probably didn't see coming as big as it was. What do we think Neil needs to do? Other than keep playing games to get more experience, what is one thing he needs to do to progress? Is it repeat contest work or simply not being nullified in contests? Seems like he's close to having it all click, but not there yet. Well, you touched on about the getting outmarked.
Yeah, I just think he does. Sometimes he gets, for his size, he does, the ball comes in and he gets outmarked. And then he's shaking his head. The good players tend not to get outmarked. They find a way to create half a contest that maybe they shouldn't. You'd love to see him just hit the scoreboard a little bit more. He doesn't. Some of his better work in recent weeks has been a little bit up the ground, which is good. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but you'd love to him to be a presence a little bit closer to goal, hit the scoreboard, just make defenders nervous. And I think he's got the ability to do it. He's such an athletic player that the high ball to the top of the square, you'd love to see him grab a couple of those and then go back and kick the goal. That'd be absolutely ideal. I mean, I think he took one. Did he take one in the first minute against Collingwood? A one-on-one. He took a mark and kicked a goal.
Yep.
I reckon someone barreled it into him. It might have been Mullen, actually. I reckon long kick in and he outmarked Frampton. You just love to see him do that a little bit more, and then he becomes a real threat. But I think he's building nicely. I think he's, you know, it's going to be such a slow burn with a play like that. You're not going to go from, you know, bloody bugger all to suddenly being a star. There's little wins along the way, and I think he's amongst the quiet games. You see enough there to say, yeah, we've got to keep persevering with this bloke.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for all those questions that have come in. We might have a couple more, Benny. Just bear with me. Just doing a little refresh here.
I'd refresh.
People are,
I like, did a bit once.
You like to refresh.
Yeah.
D-Bridge, Mullen, do we just lock him in every week as a tagger and let him develop into our next Cameron Ling?
Yep.
He has the power and speed to go with anyone and seems to stick to the task. Beating someone like Butters is a huge effort.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. We've spoken about it, and I think that is something that we'd be like to be seeing. Now, let's hope that there's plenty of options this week, so it's not like you're thinking maybe West Coast the week after, you're thinking, who would you tag? This week, you're thinking there's three or four options there that are suitable for Mullen around his dimension, speed, all those sorts of things.
Ranger makes a good point. I got the sense Port had thrown in the towel in the last quarter given the deficit and their injuries. They are prone to being run over. I'm hoping we can get some momentum from those last quarters, but I'm mindful it may not be a good indication given Port's circumstances.
No, I do agree with that. I think Port Adelaide they ran the white flag up the pole. And as I said, though, Geelong were good enough to make good on that, and they did look ruthless. They didn't. You know, sometimes you can start to lairise in those sort of situations, and you know you've got the game won, and it all becomes a bit sort of Harlem Globetrotterish. And I mean, the handball over the head of Stengel to Close was a bit Harlem Globetrotterish, but it came off. But I thought Geelong were disciplined in the way they went about dismantling them, which was a good sign. But yeah, you're not going in there. The Bulldogs are going to be infinitely better than anything Port Adelaide threw up in that second half. So let's not sort of get lulled into a false sense.
Son of God, 29, great win against the Power. By the last quarter, there were enough empty seats available to get out the old tafts from Footy Park. Damn injuries, Danger and Bowes will be outs in big outs in their own ways. Jezzer outstanding in the last 40 minutes of the game. Thought it was clearly Mark O'Connor's best game for the club.
Yes.
Ollie D outstanding. That guy could be absolutely anything by the time he's done in the game. Just the way he runs.
Yeah, he's got a big tank.
Yeah.
And this is, I think Chris Scott said it in the, was it Chris Scott? After the game, said that that they're a very good running team, Geelong.
Yep.
They've got good runners now.
Hmm.
Blitzarves, Myers, Dempsey.
Holmes. Bailey Smith.
I mean, even, and to a degree, I know he plays a different role, but Cameron,
yep.
He's a very good runner. Shannon Neal, we heard Zach Tui say he's a very good runner, like a good long-distance runner as well. And DeConing, I think, is pretty good for his dimensions. Not sure about someone like a Lawson Humphreys. They've got a lot of running power.
Zach Guthrie runs well.
Zach Guthrie, yeah. They've across the board, they are, and I'd imagine looking at him, Brad Close is probably...
Oh, he covers the ground well.
Yeah, a bit of a whippet who can keep going. So they have become a very good running team. And Chris Scott, I'm pretty sure it was Chris Scott, said after the game that... Well, he pointed that out. And... Dempsey, and that's why you see Dempsey, and there's no one around him. It's his ability to run that Skedaddle. Gets him there that a lot of players can't do. So it's a real weapon for the Cats, and probably one of the reasons why they've been a good last quarter team. They're able to they those guys are running as fast as they were, as long as hard as they were in the first quarter, as they are in the last.
Welcome back, Big Jack Henry. Geez, he's underappreciated by the wider AFL. He didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, he was. His first quarter looked like hadn't missed 2 seconds. Mm. He was very good, very good. He's having him back this week or last week, but you know, with a game under his belt, is fantastic for Geelong. He's a very, very, very good player, underrated. Doesn't have the profile, but a key to the Cats, and it allows others like Zach Guthrie, possibly is one, even Tom Stewart to a degree, to probably play more attacking.
Yep.
And that's why I think Colin Jasny still has a role. If you know, to come in and do that lockdown, because you want others getting the ball. Mm. It's good for the Cats. They've got a couple of options there in defence as well. They haven't got much going up forward or midfield, but they've got options in the twos in defence.
I know when Danger came home, he won a Brownlow in his first season, but has a recruit had a better start to their career in the hoops than Baz outside of Gary Ablett Sr.?
Well, geez, it's hard to recall.
No. Tim Kelly was impressive.
Yeah, but he was drafted.
Yeah. Are you talking about legitimate
recruits? Yeah. You'd probably struggle to find... I mean, Dangerfield obviously was one. I mean, Jeremy Cameron. But I think if you did a little poll... we should do a little poll on Thursday night, can you? Has Bailey Smith exceeded your expectations, met your expectations?
Or
when no one would say below expectations. But yeah. I wonder how many Cat fans think... I, for one, didn't realise how good he was.
Mm.
I know, and he's played like this for the Bulldogs 3 years ago. He was as good as this, yep. And then for some reason they decided to play him up half forward, and he didn't like it. But he maybe not to this level, but he was very, very good. But even out of sight, out of mind last year, you see him play and you think, geez, this guy's absolutely elite, elite.
On a more somber note, thoughts and prayers to the Selwood family and all those affected by the scourge that is men's mental health. I also lost a cousin to suicide this week and can understand the need for more assistance in this area. Cheers, boys, on to Thursday night. So well, to you, son of God, 29, our thoughts with your family, but just horrible. Then we found out on Saturday, Benny, that we've lost a second Selwood brother in 3.5 months.
Yeah, King, it's, don't know, no words, really. It's hard to fathom how that can impact somebody, and you don't really know until you're walking in their shoes, unfortunately. And it's terrible for the Selwood family, for everybody, the footy community, and 41 years of age, to lose two sons in the space of 3.5 months, you can't imagine it, really.
Yeah.
So hopefully, if anybody is struggling, just reach out to somebody, or if you know of anybody who's struggling, just reach out to them. You never know. I think I said on Saturday, King, you never know, a text or might be something at the right time that, you know, you just don't know. But if you do nothing, you certainly know that won't impact doing nothing. But, it's couldn't believe it when I heard on Saturday morning.
Lifeline 13 11 14 or beyondblue.org.au. Mitch Duncan, game 300 this week.
Yeah, look, he's been... We've got to know Mitch a little bit. I mean, you probably know him better than me, Kingy, and he's a great fella. He's been a great player for the Cats. When did he join? 2011?
Drafted in 09.
09, was he?
So he drafted with...
Oh, sorry, 09. So he was...
Drafted Menzel, Vardy, Alan Christensen.
Menzel would have been anything.
Yeah.
Look, he's been great for the Cats. He's been a good fella, good citizen. I think he's been able to sort of transcend the age barrier at the Cats in terms of being, a good sounding board for young or old. He's well respected by all. He's got a bit of a easygoing sort of nature to him. He's not wound up tight like some. And his best footies was is really good. He's when he was up and flying, as a late 20-year-old, he was as good as it got for the Cats in terms of his ball use. And he was one too that I reckon, he was a good player when Geelong weren't winning. Geelong had struggled. And he'd play well, which is always a good sign of a good player. He just didn't jump on the coattails when things were going their way, which is it has a lot across his career at Geelong. They've been such a successful team. But he was always one that did play well when things weren't going their way. And he had developed a bit of a harder edge to himself as well. You always thought he was an outside receiver type player when he first started. But he did develop a bit of an edge to his game. And a bit like someone like Peter Riccardi did that as well. Back in his day, probably played a bit like more wingman style, but he developed a harder edge to his game after being an outside player. So, look, no doubt it'll be a big night for the Cats on Thursday night. They'll celebrate that, and hopefully they can get the job done. All clubs do, but Geelong have a pretty good record in milestones, other than Corey Enright's 300th when they got beaten by Melbourne, but at home. It's you don't play 300 games by accident. He's been a tremendous servant for the Cats.
Absolutely. He'll become just the seventh Cat to that milestone, joining Hawkins, Selwood, Enright, Nankervis, Bartel and Sammy Newman. Are we doing Hydro's Heroes, Benny?
Well, I don't think we're doing them today, King. I haven't heard from Hydro. He's probably having his mad Monday after the Cats win on Saturday night. He'll be refreshing wildly, I wouldn't have thought. So we might set that up next week, I reckon, late next week. Hopefully the Cats have got the job done in the battle of the domestic pets.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.